I am here with Mark Bowser, who teaches people and organizations how to win in selling, leadership, and customer service. He is the author of multiple books, including Sales Success with Zig Ziglar and Some Gave It All with Danny Lane, which was endorsed by Chuck Norris. Boy, this is going to be interesting. Looking forward to it. So nice to have you here, Mark.
Well, thanks for having me, Diane. I appreciate it.
Oh, well, this is right up my alley of stuff I love to talk about, being in sales my whole life. I mean, there's so many nuances and interesting ways to sell, and I can't imagine having more of an interesting background than working with Zig Ziglar. How did that come about?
Well, to tell you the truth, I was kind of a fan of Zig's for many years, and still to this day, even though he's passed away. And so when I first got involved in professional speaking many years ago, I wrote him. He was the master. And so I just wrote him a letter and said, how do I do this? And the humble man that he was, he wrote me back. And he said, all right, Mark, this is what I recommend you do. And he outlined a number of steps. And was the first step on his list was Toastmasters International, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And that was a great, great piece of advice. And for the listeners who may not know what Toastmasters is, it's kind of an old term. Toastmasters, like giving a toast, like at a wedding. It was created back in the 1940s. It's an international speaking club, and they're all over the place. And that was some of the best advice that he gave me, was to just get out there and start practicing, get in front of people. And then it just kind of blossomed from there. Then back in the mid-90s, I worked on the production staff with Peter Lowe International on what back then was called his success seminars. They were the largest business seminars in the world. And Zig spoke on all those, and I worked behind the scenes learning how this type of seminar is put together. And so I got connected with him and his organization. Tom Hopkins was on most of those, so I got connected with Tom and his staff, and it just kind of blossomed from there. And then I've formed some partnerships with the Ziglar organization over the years, including some stuff recently, that it's just kind of continued through his son, Tom, who is a wonderful, wonderful leader in himself, and he's leading the Ziglar organization now to even greater fruits.
Well, you mentioned some really classic people in sales. Tom Hopkins has been on the show, and it was fun going to dinner with him and his wife, because we got to chat about how he got to the point, you know, where he did with, I mean, he started in real estate, he's just got that sales, he's got it down. He's so good at it. And some people, it just seems like it comes naturally to them, but of course they make it look that way, right? It's hard for everybody, isn't it?
Exactly. In fact, Tom is the first one to admit that he didn't know what he was doing when he started out. And you mentioned in real estate. When he started in real estate, he didn't know what he was doing. In fact, he said his first sale was, or one of his first sales was, it was a Saturday morning. He's the only one in the real estate office. And he said a couple walked in, and they knew exactly which house they wanted to buy. They had already seen it, obviously. And he said, and I think he's a little, probably going a little bit too far this way, but he said, if they didn't know how to fill out my paperwork, I still wouldn't have gotten the sale. So yeah. I think Tom's forte is, probably because of his experiences early on, is fundamental selling. Tom is the absolute best, not only in producing fundamental sales in his real estate days in particular. He probably still to this day holds the record for the most houses sold.
Yeah.
But in teaching fundamentals, he teaches fundamental selling, and if you have the fundamentals down, you win at selling, you win at basketball, you win at football, whatever endeavor you have on, fundamentals are the key, and Tom Hopkins is the best at that. No questions asked, and it's missing a lot right now, because I don't know if you're familiar with this, Diane, but he just retired. So,
no, I didn't hear that.
Kind of a tongue-tied on that one.
It's hard to even say, because we don't want him to retire. Yeah.
Exactly. It's kind of, Tom, you got to keep going. We need you, man. But it's kind of pushing you and me, the next generation, to step up and take the reins.
Well, you know, he did do a lot of amazing work with all of his books and all the things that he did on the side. I found it interesting about his real estate school and some of the other things I wasn't as familiar with when we were talking in more depth. But you also mentioned Danny Lane. And I'm curious, for some people that may not have been as familiar with Danny Lane, what did he do and why did Chuck Norris get involved? I mean, this I'm very curious about.
Well, Danny Lane is a hero of mine. Let me just put it that way. Mm-hmm. He is a phenomenal guy, a very close friend of mine, and he's my martial arts instructor. And how this came about is I was looking for an instructor, and I was traveling like I do. I can't go to a gym on a regular basis, so I needed something that would work with my travel schedule. Well, Danny had a program that he could teach you through video, and then you would conference with him, and you would videotape what you do. After you've listened to his videotapes, then he would critique you. And so that started going on. We started progressing through my martial arts training, and we started to talk. And I realized he had a story in there. Now, Diana, it was a story that he had been trying to forget for 40 years. You see, Danny Lane is a decorated Marine from the Vietnam era. He has two Purple Hearts from that war. And he was injured more than that. You didn't get a Purple Heart every time you got injured because somebody had to see it, somebody had to witness it, and it had to be recorded and so forth. And his little team of four guys that they were, it's called a fire team, they were one of the most decorated teams during the Vietnam War. And so he comes back a war hero, seeing all that horror that was there. Then he went to become a decorated detective and police officer. He trained people in SWAT and so forth. Now, this is how the Chuck Norris thing comes about. After Danny came back, he struggled tremendously with post-traumatic stress disorder and did so for 40 years. Hmm. And he couldn't sleep because when he sleeps, he said, you know, the demons came out. So basically what he would do is he'd go sweat it out. He'd get in the gym and he'd work out. And he ran across a Korean master in the martial arts who began to train him. And so he began to get trained. He was already a champion when he got connected with Chuck. Danny Lane is a ninth degree black belt. Ninth degree. Yeah, he's a nine-time national martial arts champion, former world kickboxing champion. So I'm being taught by one of the best. He's in multiple Hall of Fames. And he got a call one time by Chuck Norris. So you can imagine what that's probably like. You probably think, really, this is really Chuck Norris. Uh-huh. And so he began to train with Chuck. And he became one of Chuck's top black belts. He's been in, I don't know how many of Chuck's movies. He's usually the guy getting beat up in the movie. Uh-huh. And so Danny started to train me. And how the story of Some Gave It All came about is I knew he had that story in there. I'm a writer, and I knew it needed to be told. But obviously he's not particularly wanting to tell it. So I think it's more from his wife's urging than mine that he decided to work with me to get his story written down. So Some Gave It All is his experience of Vietnam and what those guys went through and the challenges that they went through and the challenges to this day. Diane, we lose an average of 22 veterans a day from suicide. Wow. 22. And it is absolutely awful. And the guys, and particularly in that war, every war was terrible. That particular war, they didn't even come back to people being happy or cheerful of who they were and what they did. Right. And so in Danny's case, the writing his story down has actually helped him through his post-traumatic stress disorder. It was not easy. I mean, I was asking him to go back and remember things that he didn't want to remember. And I knew it was tough on him. So I was kind of as gentle as I could as we went through this process. But he is a tremendous man, a man of strength. And what they went through, very few people know. And I say that by this is my degree is in history. I have a Bachelor of Arts in history. Uh-huh. Some of the stuff he taught me that they went through during Vietnam was never presented to me in my history classes. I mean, for example, he started talking about rock apes, and I'm going, what are you talking about? What's a rock ape? Uh-huh. And he goes, well, there were these apes. See, he says they walked on two legs. They were probably about 4.5-5 feet tall. So he said in the dusk of night, you really couldn't tell what that was. Was it a man? Was it an ape? What was it? And the North Vietnamese and the Viet Cong, they trained these apes to throw rocks and grenades at our troops.
Wow.
And yeah, it's just, it was amazing. So they went through things like, such as that. They went through the enemy sappers, which is the sapper was somebody who would actually infiltrate our lines. They were usually up, they were usually drugged up dramatically on opium or heroin, and they would just charge through, and they would have explosives all strapped around them. And so their goal was, if they could get through our lines and through our barbed wire and all that, just to run into our encampments and blow themselves up and as many Americans as they could with them.
Wow.
So that's who Danny Lane is.
Uh-huh.
And he's a war hero. And Some Give It All is, we wrote it in more like a novel form. We wanted it to feel like a novel. We wanted it to feel like an adventure movie. And so that's what we tried to do, to get people back there into the foxholes with Danny and his fire team. And Chuck has come alongside us and endorsed it. And he has actually helped promote it here as of late. And actually, a percentage, the publisher agreed to do this, a percentage of every book sale goes to the Kickstart program, which is wow. Chuck Norris's program uh-huh. for youth.
Well, that's so it's awesome.
It was exciting. It was a hard book to write, particularly for Danny, but one that we know that's not only going to be entertaining for people, but very exciting for hopefully the future of our veterans, to get the awareness out there of what they go through with that post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, you not only went off course a little bit with this type of a book, but you write about time management, you write about pillars for success for funeral directors. I mean, you have a very eclectic assortment of things you write about.
I do.
Okay, or talk about. I mean, I don't know about time management, if that's in your sales book, but I think that, you know, as far as the funeral directors, though, I'm curious, why did you get so specific in the three pillars of success for funeral directors?
Well, because my family owns a publishing house called the Bright Corporation, which has been in the funeral industry since before 1945. My grandfather bought the business in 1945 from a gentleman by the name of C.E. Bright. And so what your listeners are probably thinking, what in the world is a publisher for the funeral industry? Well, if you go into a funeral home, you're asked to sign a register book.
Right.
We make those.
Uh-huh.
We make the memorial folder, which is kind of like a church bulletin. It's what they hand you when you go into the service. It has some information about the deceased. It has the agenda of the service and so forth. So we make the memorial folders. We make the acknowledgement or thank you cards that the family will give somebody who sends flowers and so forth. So that's the industry that Bright has been in for over 70 years. And we are expanding into some other industries, and I'll mention that in just a few moments. But how this came about, the three pillars of success for funeral directors, is I had a book that was published earlier just called The Three Pillars of Success.
Right.
And I believe the three pillars for any organization in their order of importance is, number one, leadership, two, sales, number three, customer service. And so we started to think about, how do we expand this for the funeral directors? Something specific just for them. And we did it for two reasons. One, to help them out in their business, because quite frankly, a lot of them may or may not have business training. Many times it's generational businesses that mm-hmm. pass down and
right.
so forth. And so sometimes they've gotten business training, sometimes they have not. They have their specialized training and so forth, which I won't go into details of what that is, but they uh-huh. have their specialized training.
Right.
And so we wanted to give them some business training. How do you be an effective leader? How do you sell? I've had funeral directors tell me that, no, we don't sell. No, we don't sell in our industry. And it's everything uh-huh. I can do, Diane, without smacking them outside the head and said, yes, you do.
Neither do
everybody
doctors,
sells.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. And so that was one of the main reasons we wrote it. Second reason was pure marketing for us. I am a huge believer, and I learned this from Dan Kennedy. Dan Kennedy, who is he's semi-retired, a marketing genius. He was back on all the Peter Lowe seminars as well. And we use it as publishing it as a business card, if you will. A book is the best business card that you can have. And people will throw away our business cards. People will throw away our brochures and so forth. But they very, very few times will throw away a book. And so what we did is we created this book. Bright Corporation expanded out, and we have two divisions. One of those two divisions below Bright Corporation, one of those is called Bright House Publishers, and we're more of an entrepreneurial publisher. And what that means is following more into Dan Kennedy's kind of format, helping business leaders, pastors, and so forth publish a book so they can have more leverage in their marketplace, in their place in the market. And so we decided, well, let's do it ourselves. And that's where the three pillars of successful funeral directors has come out. We published it just for that industry, and we put a, not only does it have all the meat in it, but we put a brochure catalog in the back of that. So we put a mini catalog to advertise what we do in the other areas right in the back of the book. And so it makes it easy for them to purchase from us our other items. And so anybody who's out there thinking about how to market their business, do it through a book.
Now, is it a hybrid publishing? Is it a, you know, for self-publishing type of thing? And or is it an actual publishing house that you accept people based on, you know, the traditional model? I'm curious.
Well, it's a little bit of a hybrid. I mean, it's a leaning on the traditional side in that, yes, if somebody's wanting to see if we want to publish their book, they're more than happy to, I'm more than happy to have them send me an email and a file, and we'll go through that and we'll look at that. For example, we just published Jeff Greer's book, who's a pastor in Mason, Ohio. And here's where it comes a little bit into hybrid. We are not in competition with your HarperCollins publishing and Simon & Schuster. We're not in competition with them. We help people take position in their marketplace. Like, for example, Reverend Greer, I talked to him about marketing recently. He's not really interested in doing major marketing. He wanted it primarily for his congregation so that he could have it for back of room at conferences, so he could position it to give to youth as they are heading off to college and so forth. And I said, I'm fine with that. If you want us to do more marketing, we can look into that. If you don't, that's fine. And he's kind of taken the option of, I'm not really interested in major marketing. That's fine. That's fine. And, but we've gotten the book to serve his particular purposes. And so that's what we do. Well, we get it on all the, you know, the internet sites, and bookstores can buy it and that type of stuff.
Right.
But in terms of doing a major campaign, that's usually what entrepreneurs do not want necessarily. They want it to position in their marketplace. I remember, do you know who Nito Cobain is, Diane? He's a, he's been a member of National Speakers Association for many, many years. He's now president of High Point University.
Okay.
And I remember many, many years ago, and I didn't understand what he was meaning at that point. I was so young and naive, but he said, I published a book one time for five people. And I'm thinking, what? I get it. I get it now. They were five major prospects of his, and he published a book to position to those five major entities so that he could get inside of their companies to do business with them. And so that's kind of what Bright House Publishers does. So if anybody, if you're a pastor out there or an entrepreneur and you're looking for something like that, we'll take a look at it. We can't publish, obviously, everything. We're pretty small in the publishing industry realm. But we'll take a look at it.
A la carte kind of thing where they pay the authors pay for specific items that they would use versus not use, or is it something? Is it the truth?
No, they don't. They don't pay for. They don't pay for us to print the book or anything like that.
Okay.
All we ask is for them to commit to buying X amount of copies. And off the top of my head, I remember I think it was like 300 copies, something like that. So it's a very small amount. And basically, what that does, it covers our costs. But we would actually go out there and print the book. We would ask them to have it edited pretty good. We don't want something that's going to be major lifting and rough. So we'd encourage them, go out there, get a professional editor, let them take a peek at it, let them do the work on it, then kind of send it to us so we can take a look at it, more of a finished manuscript, if you will. We still might want to have some tweaks done and that type of stuff. But in terms of a pay-for-play type of publisher, no, that's not us.
Okay.
If we take your book, we're going to take your book and we will get it into production and so forth, and then we just want you to buy, like I said, memory serves, I think it's 300 copies. I'd have to ask our operations guy on that.
Well, it's interesting how many options there are for publishing today in the market, and I agree that you really kind of have to have a book as to prove that you're an expert in something. I think people are starting to expect it, because everybody else has one these days. And so,
absolutely,
yeah, it's something that is really. Do you talk about that in sales success, or I'm curious about sales success.
We don't talk about that in mm-hmm. sales success. Mm-hmm. In fact, let me just say this to your listeners too: mm-hmm. is Bright House Publishers is not the best fit for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Bright House Publishers doesn't even publish all of my books. Why? And that may sound bad, because they don't have, it's just some of my books, like Some Gave It All, is not published by Bright House Publishers. Sell Success is not.
Uh-huh.
Is because those were needing a little bit more muscle in the mainstream publishing.
Uh-huh.
So it went,
okay.
Yeah. So it's just depends what their fit is. Now, how Sell Success came about is it's published by Made for Success Publishing, which is owned by Brian Heathman. It's out there in the Seattle area.
Mm-hmm.
Originally owned by Chris Widener, wonderful guy, wonderful speaker.
Oh, he's on my show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great, great guys.
Mm-hmm.
Both he and Brian
he's
are just
great.
Wonderful guys. And strong Christian men, and just have your back. Well, how it came about is they had a tape series many, many years ago called Sell Success.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a major, major seller in places like Costco and so forth. So Brian and I were talking about putting a book together.
Mm-hmm.
And we got with my literary agent, who is Bruce Barber, and we started talking with Bruce, and we came up with the idea of Sell Success, kind of piggybacking on the tape series. Now, it's different than the tape series, but kind of playing on the popularity and the name and so forth of that. And so what we did is Sell Success is a business fable. It's a story. So I wrote a story that fits the entire book together and kind of weaves it together. And then we went out and get the best of the best sales coaches in history to contribute a chapter to this. And so the first chapter is obviously written by Zig. And so Zig contributed a chapter, and I am thrilled to say this book took many, many years to get into place in the marketplace. And so Mr. Ziegler was still alive actually when we were working on this. And it's one of the last big projects that he was actually had a part of.
Hmm.
And so I am honored by that. Unfortunately, he had passed away by the time it got into production and hit bookstores. His legacy lives on. So Scott McCain is in the book. Scott was a mentor
Scott's
of mine.
Great.
We're both Indiana natives.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was a young speaker, Scott took me under his wing and began to kind of teach me how this professional speaking thing works. And so as you can tell, Mr. Ziegler and Scott McCain have been a huge influence on my career. And Scott's a great guy, by the way.
He is.
I encourage everybody to go out there and get his new book.
He's
called
got a new
Iconic.
Book. Yeah.
Wall Street Journal said it was ranked it as one of the top 10 business books of 2018. And
wow.
So
yeah.
fabulous work.
He's a great speaker,
Tom Hopkins
too.
Oh, he is. He's one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Hopkins is in the book. And so they contributed these chapters. And what I did was I weaved them into the story to teach the concepts of the best of the best. And
mm-hmm.
then I added some content chapters as well. And so the idea is, to be the best in sales, you have to learn from the best. Why reinvent the wheel? Let's go back
right.
and find out, what did the best do? Zig Ziglar, Tom Hopkins, Scott McCain, even my own experience out there, and let's mm-hmm. learn what works. And
right.
that's what the book does. And it can make a major difference into a salesperson's life by just following what we say in the book. And if they follow it and do it, they are going to sell more.
And you're listing some great Hall of Fame speakers. You know, I mean, I've had a lot of them on the show, and a lot of them give such great advice. And sales is challenging now because it's changing so much with teams. It's not like it used to be when they threw yellow pages at you.
Exactly.
Have fun with this, right? It's getting
exactly.
a lot more complicated, and I think that we need a lot more really great content about how to do, you know, to reach people with such a connected world. It's so different with social media, and I mean, it used to be you did the cold calling, you did the closing, you did everything, and it's not like that anymore. So I'm really fascinated by how sales has progressed, and I think that we definitely can learn a lot from all generations of experts in the area. So I think a lot of people probably now are fascinated, but to find out more about your publishing company as well as your different books and things that you're doing. So if somebody wanted to find out more, wanted to buy your books or learn more about you, how could they do that?
Well, the best way is to go to my website, which is www.markbowser.com. So it's MarkBowser.com. And they can contact me through the website itself, or they can just email me directly. My personal email is mbowser@markbowser.com. And if you're interested in Bright House Publishers, I'll get that in the right hands. If you're interested in my books or anything or any sales advice, let me know, because things have changed. And one of the biggest avenues is how you and I got connected. You and I got connected, Diane, through LinkedIn.
That's right.
And I think that's a huge mm-hmm. sales tool today. And another piece of advice, learn sales copywriting.
Yeah.
You can learn to write a good sales letter. You will be fruitful in this market.
How do you, what's your biggest recommended site for that or book for that?
Study the best. I started learning it from Tom Antion, mm-hmm. and then I went from Tom. Dan Kennedy's got some great work out there. Go to some of the classics, Robert Collier letter book, for example, is a classic in that, and you can learn a ton from that. Joe Vitale is one of the best copywriters in the world today. And so I would just look up those guys and learn from them. There's a science behind it.
Yeah.
And if you can learn the science, and then everybody has what you call a swipe file. Now, it's kind of a rotten name, but a swipe file is basically what you've learned that works. Oh, this ad worked. So I'm going to keep a file of that ad. Oh, this headline worked. This subject line worked.
Right.
And you have psychology that goes into that, and it's the research, and you can gain it from Robert Collier's stuff, Joe Vitale's, and you just gather it, because there are books out there that share some of the most successful ads and letters in history. And if you learn why those were successful, and you don't plagiarize it, obviously, but you learn those words,
right.
You learn those type of phraseology they use, and you place that in your own work.
Yep. Paraphrase. Great. I think
Absolutely.
That's awesome. And I think this has all really been helpful. Thank you so much for being on the show, Mark.
Well, thanks for having me, Diane. I sure appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome.